You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Today's show is all about taking a cruise along the Mississippi River. The last show was about the Garden District through the lens of slavery. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. Support comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection, the city's premier history museum located at 520 Royal Street in the heart of the French Quarter. Check out their online publication called First Draft. It's a combination blog and online exhibition space at hnoc.org/firstdraft. From December 8, 2023 through May 10, 2024, check out their exhibit titled A Mystic Brotherhood, Fraternal Orders of New Orleans. For centuries, Freemasons, Odd Fellows, and other similar fraternal organizations have contributed to the network of benevolent and mutual aid societies that cradle New Orleans' social, cultural, and civic life. Through objects and images drawn from their collection, the new exhibition explores the sometimes hidden history of these organizations and illuminates how they help shape today's city. Go to hnoc.org/visit to plan your trip, and as always, admission is free. It somehow continues to fly under the radar, but it's a must-stop, in my opinion, if you're coming to New Orleans. The most frequent questions I get are about moving to the city. If you're ready to make your move, you need a good realtor, and that's where my friend Liz Wood comes in. Let Liz and her team over at Liz Wood Realty help you find the right place. They can help whether you plan to rent or purchase. Look, New Orleans is a terrific city, but choosing the neighborhood that's the best fit for you can be overwhelming. Liz makes that process fun and easy. Reach out to Liz at lizwoodrealty.com and make your dream of living in New Orleans a reality. Many members of our Facebook community have done just that, and they're thrilled with their new homes. You will be too. The other thing that really sets Liz apart is what she does after she helps you find a home. She does a great job at building community and helping get you connected with people in your new area. When you're ready to make New Orleans home, reach out to Liz. While you're looking for a new home, you're probably going to need to secure financing. Reach out to Tommy Manzella at Gulf Coast Mortgage and let him help you get everything in place. That's what we did on our refi, and it was as smooth as could be. We went through the same process with Tommy when we were considering purchasing a new home, and it was just as easy. Reach out to Tommy Manzella at Gulf Coast Bank, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Last but not least, long-term listeners are familiar with Two Chicks Walking Tours and their small group approach to public walks through the French Quarter and the Garden District. They were the guests on our last episode, in fact, but for those new to the topic, they limit their group size to half the number of guests of other companies. Frequent tour takers know that size matters in this case. They're experts at curating private tours as well, including a variety of themes such as literature tours through the French Quarter or a Marigny Highlights tour option. The team has traversed the CBD and the warehouse with groups in tow discussing the city's unique development and characteristics. They've organized private tours for as little as a single guest to as many as 200, so check them out. Find out more at twochickswalkingtours.com and use code BEYOND to save 15% off. Again, we'll put a link in the show notes. Now, on to today's topic, cruising the Mississippi River. This is something I've been interested in for a while, and I'm joined by two guests who recently traveled by riverboat from Memphis to New Orleans. To tell us all about it, please welcome Mr. Scott Eddy and Mr. Chris Palmer. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you?
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, man. Good to be here.
Good to see you guys. I know you just got off the cruise ship last week, and I happened to get to spend an evening with Scott. We were talking about this, and I said, you know, it's something my listeners have been interested in, I've been interested in, and so it made sense to just do an episode. But before we jump in, let's talk a little bit about each of you and your backgrounds and what you do. Scott, do you want to lead us off?
Yeah, so my background is investment banking. I did it for 10 years, and then I took a trip to Asia and ended up staying. I loved it. Ended up living over there for 13 years. And while I was living in Asia, that's when social media came out and I started the first digital agency in Asia. Coincidentally, all my clients were hotels. So that's where I learned the business and sold agency after 5 years, built up my personal brand, and the rest is history. I ended up living in six different countries for 17 years and We work with some of the biggest brands in the world. We do specialize in photography and video, drone photo shoots, F&B photo shoots, building out digital strategies. We do social media workshops and concentrate on hospitality. And yeah, it's good.
And for the last 9 years or so, you've traveled the world doing that, right?
Yeah. Before I was a little bit more stable and had a base, but 9 years ago, I sold everything that I own. I live in hotels and the travel is a little bit more hardcore these days. We do about 20 yeah. or 30 countries a year.
Wow. And Chris, how about you? Tell us about your photography background.
Well, my photography kind of basically started out as a little kid. Fisher Price, blue camera. I remember getting at it for Christmas 1 year, and it always just evolved. So myself and Scott met up about a year and a half ago. Prior to that, I worked on Wall Street for 21 years. I did a lot of ocean stuff in the mornings, even before I went to the office. And was one morning on a beach, I think it was last June or May.
June.
And I noticed his haircut. I'm like, Scott, is that you? And he was cleanly shaved, and as always. We went up there, we had an introduction. And I guess it was maybe 20 hours later, we were already doing a photo shoot.
Wow.
Yeah. So Scott welcomed me into the hospitality side of the business. And this year alone, I believe we have traveled over 20 countries together this year alone, some countries last year as well. And it's been going good. Like I said, we concentrate on F&B, all the hospitality has to offer, whether it be shooting rooms, drones, shooting their personnel, their staff, whatever assets the company would need for whatever period of time.
Before we go further, Chris, so our next trip together is in January, and it's actually one of his dream destinations that we're going to go shoot. Chris, where are we going?
Yes, we're going to Antarctica.
Nice.
So we are going to be hanging with the penguins.
Yeah.
Down south. Definitely looking forward to that. It's going to be amazing.
And that'll be your second trip, Scott, to Antarctica, right?
Didn't you? That'll be my second trip. And for those people that don't know, Antarctica has very, very strict rules. If your ship is over 500 feet, you cannot get off. You cannot send the Zodiacs in and do excursions on shore. You can just cruise. So what we're actually doing is we're leaving from Chile and we're stopping off in various spots in Chile and Uruguay and Argentina, cruising through, crossing over the Drake, which is the thing in Antarctica, and cruising through, spending 3 or 4 days in Antarctica, and then going to the Falkland Islands, where we will get off. And those are the islands with all the penguins and things like that. So it's going to be a completely different experience than I had before, rolling around in the snow and things like that. But it's still going to be an Arctic experience, and it's going to be a blast.
Nice. Well, today's discussion is about an area that's not quite so adventurous, maybe, but I think you're going to share with us that maybe more adventure than people think. So tell us a little bit, like to start, what cruise company did you guys go on your recent expedition down the river?
So it was American Queen Voyages.
Yeah, and they operate a couple tours, right? They come up and down the Mississippi, and they're also out in the Pacific Northwest, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Correct.
And our first cruise, so we did a back-to-back. Our first cruise was down the Columbia River up in Washington and Oregon. And then we flew right down to Memphis and caught the American Countess, right? American Countess.
Correct.
From Memphis to New Orleans. But they also offer, they go up the Mississippi all the way up to Minnesota. They do Alaska. You know, they're a pretty significant brand.
Yeah. And so you guys got on in Memphis. How long was the trip from Memphis to New Orleans?
8 days, 7 nights.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you and I were talking the other night, Scott. On first blush, that seems like a long time to me for what is a 6-hour drive from Memphis to New Orleans. You guys got on in Memphis. Tell me first a little bit before we get into the itinerary and the trip itself and what y'all did. Tell me a little bit about the ship. You're widely traveled. So what's the ship like? What's the experience like?
I mean, the ship is they're classic styles. You know, they're vintage, but they're kept up very, very nice. The staff all live in America, which is very weird and strange for a cruise line, mm-hmm. considering how most staff are foreigners. So it sort of gives you that comfortable feeling. It feels like a big trip, even though it's not a big trip. It's sort of like, you know, like you're just flying a couple hours away, but you're surrounded by all the very comfortable settings that you would anywhere in the States. The ship is nice. The amenities, the comfort of the ship, it's a very comfortable sailing. Chris has been on tons of cruises since we met as well. And even before we met, he was on dozens of cruises. How did you like it?
This is my first time actually traveling on a cruise in the U.S., I believe for you as well, Scott.
100%.
Well, I guess no. I was going to say we did Alaska, not together, but.
Alaska doesn't count. Alaska is like its own country on its own.
But this is my first official river cruise in the United States.
Me too.
And it was good. And I was saying, commenting how it was basically a six-hour drive. But I believe they were showing you how windy the Mississippi is and how long, how much farther stretch it is on a boat. I mean, granted, you're on a paddle wheel.
Right.
So this paddle wheel is only doing 4 or 5 miles per hour. So it's not a, birds are flying past you pretty fast. You're not getting in a hurry, but, you're definitely taking in the sights of the river and everything like that. And we stopped in some small little towns that I think most people would have driven by or not even heard of or not even stopped into. That was a huge advantage of the cruise. Also, having the advantage of coming back to, like we always say, the cruise where it could have been a six-hour drive, but how many different hotels, how many times you would have had to unpack and everything like this. So on this one, even though it was not that much in miles, we still did cover, we were in towns of, I think 500, 10,000 people, 5,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Small little town. And it was cool. I came from a big city in Philadelphia. I live in the South, but it's not really the South. So it was awesome to, so to say, experience the Southern way of life. So it was awesome.
What was that like as a photographer? Were you able to get into places that you've never been or that you wouldn't have thought to go to?
Yeah. So actually, being right here, honestly, the Everglades is right in my backyard.
Okay.
And I have fished it. I've been on a bank, but this was my first time actually in an airboat. And it was huge here in South Florida, but we were able to take an airboat tour. It was awesome. We got out there. We seen the gators. It was actually a really nice time of the year, too. So, like I said, it was only about maybe 2.5 weeks, whatever it was, a week ago. And it was nice. It was cool in the morning. Honestly, when the boat was going, it was a little chilly. Not chilly, but it was, I had my shirts and flip-flops. Actually, I did have sneakers that day because I thought there was going to be some mosquitoes. So I was prepared with pants. But it was a little chilly, so it was actually good not out there just baking in the sun and having the mosquitoes and everything. So it was really nice.
Yeah. What kind of excursions did you guys do, Scott? What jumped out at you?
We had a blast. We did ATVing. We did archery. We did axe throwing. 2 swamp tours, one on a pontoon, one on an airboat. It was literally, you could go as fast as you want or you could go as slow as you want. How I describe this cruise, even though you're going from Memphis to New Orleans, 2 very well-known cities, this is the cruise filled with hidden gems. Because like he said, every day you're in a different city that has a couple hundred people. It was just really, really cool experience. And like I said, it was a lot of fun. And there were some people that, didn't get off the boat, the ship. They just wanted to sit there and read their books and just relax in the atmosphere. And there were some people that just wanted to go as fast as you can on an ATV, which was Chris.
So, probably a lot of our listeners have been on a ship, say, in the Caribbean. What's the similarities and what are the differences between taking, say, a Carnival or a Princess or a Norwegian cruise ship trip like that in the Gulf of Mexico or the Caribbean versus going down the Mississippi River?
Well, the big difference is passengers. So we had maybe, I think it was about 152 occupancy, was it?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. So very, very low.
We were only a couple hundred people versus a couple thousand.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you do get to know your waiters and staff and everything on a big cruise line. We also got a little more intimate connection with the staff on a smaller vessel because, like I said, there was only 152 of us. And I think they had about 90 staff, give or take 10. So it was a good ratio of staff to customers. The difference is going to be attractions on the boat, because when you're in a large vessel, sort of like Princess, Carnival, Royal, whatever it is, there's 5 or 6, 7 different, 10 different bars there. But this one, you know, had the, you know, had the single bar right out front of the, so to say, the dining room, the theater and everything like that. So right before dinner, you know, a lot of people congregated there, got a, you know, before dinner cocktail, after dinner cocktail, or after, yeah, after dinner cocktail before the theater. So that was cool. So it was more of a closer community, if you want to say, because mm-hmm. you basically kind of seen everybody on the boat and you would say hi and, you know, have morning gestures to each other and everything like that. So I think it's two different animals. Same thing even with a river cruise that we did over in Europe too. River cruises and ocean cruises are, I think, a lot different, honestly. Because like I said, it's a smaller ports that you're going into, especially on our river cruises. And then with the larger vessels, you're not able to get into those small, quaint little communities.
Sure.
You know, there's a give and take, but there's, you know, there's an upside to each side of the cruise.
Yeah. And Scott, it seems like you guys made many more stops than you would make on, say, an ocean-going cruise. Do you have an idea of about how many different cities you guys stopped in on the way from Memphis to New Orleans?
So right now, as you probably know, the river is very low.
Yeah.
So when you're on a river cruise, very similar to doing an expedition cruise, your itinerary is basically a suggestion. Yes, you're going to stop in Memphis, but our boat actually didn't stop in Memphis. We had to take a bus 90 minutes outside of Memphis to catch the boat where the river was good enough for them to dock. And that happened multiple times on our trip. But the staff is excellent with logistics and planning excursions and this and that. So we didn't miss anything. We got to do everything that we normally planned. There was additions to it as well. So while we didn't stop in Baton Rouge, which was on the itinerary, we stopped just outside of Baton Rouge and we got to stop in that town as well as taking buses to Baton Rouge and doing those excursions as well. So it actually worked out. I think total, we only stopped because we had a couple overnights. I think total, we only stopped in 4 or 5 different places, but we had excursions pretty much 6 out of the 8 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one of the advantages too, right? Because it's slow moving.
Correct.
They can easily put you on a bus or put you on private transportation and get you out. You can get out into the community more than you could on a big cruise ship.
And not only that, they have their own buses. So their buses go alongside of how the ship is moving. So all of our excursions are with the same drivers. There's 2 different buses.
Oh, nice.
So we have their own American Queen Voyages buses. So it was a very comfortable embarking and de-embarkation situation. And you're just getting on. Their buses are fantastic. They're practically brand new. And it was just really, really good. It was the logistics, which because we cruise so much, the logistics, we pay attention to a lot. Because if the logistics are good, everything else just falls into place. And the logistics were great.
And what was the food like?
The food was very, very good. And I know now they have I'm not sure how long she's been with the company, but they have a food ambassador named Regina, who is based in, I forgot where she was. Oh, she was in Natchez. She was in Natchez, Mississippi. She is basically bringing their food up to the next level. So a lot of what you would think, a lot of comfort food, a lot of the South. They had, you know, barbecue ribs one night, which I was like, how do you get good barbecue ribs on a cruise ship? Like, it was unbelievable. Like, you know, it's just really cool. It was a good experience.
Yeah, that's one of the things that strikes me about a river cruise is they can supply almost whenever they need to supply as opposed to being out in the ocean.
Super easy.
Right. And they can pair it up with local cuisine and all that. It seems like a really unique experience in that regard. So, I mean, you've kind of already answered this, but one of the questions I get from people about taking a river cruise is, you know, it's slow, obviously. Is it boring? And it sounds like you guys would say not at all. Is that a fair statement?
It's as fun as you make it. Listen, it's not going to be the whole rah-rah thing that you would get on a ship with 6,000 people cruising in the Caribbean, you know, hanging out on a catamaran in crystal clear waters every day. It's just not that type of trip. But you don't look at this itinerary for potentially going with that in mind. You look in in this itinerary, whereas you want to do a different type of trip. You want to learn the history of the South. You want to experience things in the South that you've never experienced in. And you want to cruise on the Mississippi, which not a lot of people can say that they've done.
No, I've not done that other than, you know, a day trip, right?
I mean, you live there and you've never done it.
No, right. Something I've always been interested in. You guys have definitely piqued my interest. And we should point out for people, these are not inexpensive trips because of that level of service,
right?
I think, and all the excursions and all the things that are options for you. These tend to be upscale experiences, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like this ship that we were on, this ship just got refurbished a couple of years ago. It has all the modern necessities that you would expect on a brand new cruise ship, but you're on the river. Hmm. It's very cool.
Right. Yeah. How about, Chris, from your perspective, was there anything that you get to photograph that really stands out for you?
For me, I guess it was just one picture that stands in my mind because we get some fog here. But I remember just one night, I think it was in, Natchez?
I'm almost positive was Natchez, yeah.
I think it was. We were running back because it was right after the ATV tour.
Natchez.
And we got off, we're going back. Yeah. And I just remember, you know, as a photographer, you got to take the picture when it's there. So we're going down a steep embankment to get back down to the boat. And I remember just, yep.
Crazy.
Just trying to grab my camera out of the backpack. And the fog was just rolling over the water. The sun was coming through the haze. That's something we don't get to experience down here in the South Florida.
Right.
So that's, you know, definitely one picture that's ingrained in my mind. And I remember we were talking to some other people too. They ran back to the vessel. They wanted to do something, come back and shoot it. And they didn't get the shot because the fog already moved. And yeah. It was just a perfect, there was just like a running amount of clouds, not in a way for the sun peak its rays through. So just as a photographer, you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
And right then that was my favorite image of the cruise. Was just something we don't get to see. The double bridges in the background, the Mississippi, it just evokes so much, you know, Southern emotion.
Yeah.
That it was, that's just an image that's going to be burned in my brain.
That's neat. And again, that's something you don't get on a big ship necessarily, you know?
Correct.
You know, it's funny, Mark. Our whole job is essentially creating content for hospitality brands to use to sell their product. I mean, if you want to explain what we do in 7 words, you know, that's it. But when you're creating content, essentially your storytelling, you need to have an emotional destination, like a tunnel that your content is going through with the ups and downs, with that ultimate destination in your view. That was the epicenter of the view of the storytelling piece that we needed the whole trip. And it happened by accident. Like we were literally coming back from the excursion and we got off the ship and there had to be 200 yards between the bus and the ship, Chris. And we were like, as soon as we got off, we were like, oh my God, what is going on right now? Like we could not get to the ship fast enough to go through, scan your cards, go put down the stuff, grab the camera. I mean, it was unbelievable, but it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, as you and I were talking the other night, Scott, it just seemed like you had a lot of moments like that.
Yeah.
The ATV excursion that you showed me the video of just looked like an amazingly fun thing to do.
So much fun.
Yeah. You know, the archery, it seems like just a bunch of, well, maybe on a big ship at ocean, they have more events on the ship. You guys were able to take advantage of a lot of excursions off ship. And that sounds like a really big difference.
So on these small ships, the biggest benefit that you have versus big ship sailings, and we actually specialize in small ship sailings, anything 1,000 people and less. The small ship experience, you have such an intimate relationship with the destination. And it's the good thing is on big ships, they outsource all the excursions. There's no excursion that the cruise ship actually does. There's nothing. With these, you're in their transportation. You have a tour guide, but you also have a guide from the ship with you. So it's a very, again, it's an intimate experience. Everything that you're doing is very, it's just great. It's a great experience.
Yeah, every day the Surex person was standing right at the top of the port or right at the port for the excursions for the day. You know, they'll run a couple different excursions, and they also have a hop-on, hop-off bus on top of all their excursions. So it gives you a, sort of say, a city or town highlight of whatever it is. And that personnel was filtrating all the passengers to the correct bus, so to say.
Well, what intrigues me in listening to you guys is, again, I've made the trip to Memphis. I have family in Memphis, drive there all the time. It's 6 hours, but you never take the time to stop and explore the towns in between. You've mentioned Natchez several times. Natchez is a wonderful small community.
Fantastic.
It's beautiful, good food, good culture. And there's probably dozens of smaller towns between here and Memphis that I've just never taken the time because I'm going to get to that destination as quickly as possible. But I'm really intrigued by that idea of really going, of slowing down, right? Because everything's so fast in our lives. Slowing down and getting to sort of be, I don't want to say at the mercy of, but at the enjoyment or the pleasure of a company that specializes in doing this and really taking you into those small communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about this at great length when we were at the bar the other night. I cannot wait to actually take Chris and we go up to New Orleans to actually spend some time, because he would be like a kid in a candy store up there taking pictures. I mean,
right.
New Orleans was like invented for photography.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about that the other night, Chris. New Orleans is a photographer's dream, whether it's the architecture or the excitement in the French Quarter, the neon, the fog rolling off the river in the morning, catching the city in the morning, catching the city at night, and seeing the dichotomy between the two. Yeah, because you got off the ship and then you left. You went back home pretty quickly, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately, I flew out that same day.
But that's another option for people, right? They could take a cruise and then they could spend extra time here in the city if they have that time.
Correct.
And so not only do they get the Mississippi, but they get New Orleans as well if they want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there were multiple people that got on, that came to Memphis early. They spent 3 or 4 days there, and they spent 3 or 4 days in New Orleans. I mean, you could really stretch out the trip where you have 2 full weeks all over that South area, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, it just seems like a slower pace, right? So much of what we do in life is just go, go, go. But there seems to be a real appeal to this slowing down and enjoying the nuances of what a place has to offer.
Yeah,
most definitely. I think that's what river cruising is all about.
Yeah, that's what's really interesting to me. I've only been on ocean-going cruises. I've never been down a river. But now Scott and you, Chris, have me interested in doing that and exploring my own part of the South in a different way.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Scott, you already kind of addressed this, but you guys travel the world. What makes a trip like this worth taking, in your opinion?
It's really for people. What actually surprised me, and most of the people on the trip were Americans, but what actually surprised me is there were two different couples from the UK. I asked them one day, I said, why did you pick this? And they're like, well, we always see movies and they're in the South and they're talking about the South and we just started to do research and it looks so interesting that we just did it. So while we travel the world and do all these wonderful destinations, I think that a lot of people in our own country, they're not that familiar with their own backyard. I mean, even you, I mean, how long have you been in New Orleans and you're not familiar with, you may be familiar, but you don't have a relationship with any of the small towns in between New Orleans and Memphis. You know, I just think it gives you that opportunity. And for people that love history, and it's not neither of ours favorite subjects. I just don't have the bandwidth to go that slow. But for people that like history, these river cruises will blow your mind because they are literally, there's lectures going on in the theater every single day. They have a different lecturer on every week and they're just tremendous. And the feedback on those things are unbelievable.
And again, you have the time because you're moving at a slower pace.
Correct.
So you can enjoy that.
You're going 3 miles an hour.
Right. No, I think you have me sold. Like in this world where we're moving and going and going and going and doing so much so quickly, there's something to be said for slowing down. And also on a vacation like that, where I am a history buff and you can dive into the history and
100%.
Learn about the geography and the places where you are.
Absolutely. And not only you, I'm telling you, this is because I have a little idea of what your demographic is for your listeners of your podcast. And this is a home run for anybody listening. It is right up your people's alley. Everything that you have on your podcast, it could not be more perfect.
Yeah, our listeners are looking, obviously the podcast is called Beyond Bourbon Street. They're looking to get beyond and do more of the curated things to take their time. They don't mind spending money for a different experience. I mentioned Two Chicks Walking Tours at the top. They specialize in curated experiences, small groups. And that's what it sounds like you're describing with the cruise. It's a smaller experience, more intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, what was the name of the company that you guys went on?
American Queen Voyages.
We'll put a link in the show notes for people so that they can see that.
Well, listen, you and I were talking the other night, and while I think this is the perfect trip to offer your listeners, you also think it's a home run. So
yeah.
I think that you're going to organize something with American Queen Voyages to do a sailing next year with your listeners. And I think it would be fun.
Yeah. And we were talking about maybe get Scott and Chris involved and we can do some video and people can get a professional package maybe of their experience and of the experience of the cruise so that not only do you take your own photos, but you have a put together sort of done for you, experience or recap of the cruise. If this is something you guys are interested in, let me know. You can reach out to me on social at Beyond Bourbon ST, our Facebook community, which is the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, KREWE, is 16,000 people who all have a shared love of New Orleans. Once you listen to this episode, if it's something you're interested in, reach out to me, or better yet, go into the group and just say, yeah, I'd love to do that. And we'll use that information to work with them to see about putting together a cruise. We would love to do it. I think the combination of Scott and Chris and I, the combination of their expertise on photography and documenting and having a good time, as well as my experience with New Orleans and the South in general, it could be just a great time. So thank you guys. We'll consider that and we'll figure out how to make that a reality.
Awesome.
There you go.
If they want to learn more, if our listeners want to learn more about following you guys, I know that Scott, you are Mr. Scott Eddy. EDDY pretty much everywhere.
Yes.
How about you, Chris? If people want to check out your work, how can they do that?
It's C Warren Travels, most of the places. So just the letter C, mm-hmm. Warren Travels, Travels. Instagram. So that's where I post most of my stuff.
Nice. And we'll put links to both you guys in the show notes so people can check it out.
Appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Mark.
I just want to add this in there because I know Chris won't. He's also at C. Warren Gallery, because before I suckered him into the hospitality world, he's one of the top ocean photographers in the country, and he does fine art pieces and sells them all over the world. I mean, he makes these 4x5, like they're unbelievable, but you really have to check that out. C. Warren Gallery.
All right. We'll put that in the show notes as well. I appreciate it. Look, I appreciate you guys taking the time today. It's good to catch up with you both and to hear about a river cruise. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having us. Appreciate you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks also to our sponsors. And if you get something out of the show or any episode, please consider becoming a patron or even leaving a tip via PayPal or Venmo. I'm at Beyond Bourbon ST on both. Thanks again to Scott and Chris for taking time. They just got back from the trip and they're planning their next trip. So I appreciate the time on a Monday afternoon. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to my daughters to close us out. Thanks, y'all.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.